Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
All right, well, we're going to get stuck into the Word. We're going to open up. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you. Your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It changes us and it transforms us. And Lord, I ask today, Lord, let your Word be here. Let your word be heard and let your sound of your voice echo in our hearts for generations to come. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, speaking of family, I feel like I'm in the midst of family. I'm going to introduce you to some of my family on screen today. We have, I had the privilege of having some time this week when my family came down to see me. And I really value family. But one thing I value more than family is family actually knowing who Jesus is, who they are and who they're called to be. And this is my family this week, just a quick snapshot in the middle of a garage, but you know, what else would you do? This is my nephew on the side, Josiah, he's 20. My nephew on my right side, the littlest one, he's 12. Then my other nephew on the other side, he's Elijah, and he is going to be 18 in November. And that's my beautiful sister, Jacinta. Her and her husband, Jeremy, pastor a church in Country Victoria. And so I thought I'd just welcome you to my family today. This is my family. Come on. Let me read to you this verse while that photo's up there. Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Church, I believe that as a part of our life journey is that we are called to discipleship from one generation to another. It's about passing on the baton to the next generation. And I've done a journey with these three boys since they were born. I've held them, I've loved them, I've cared for them, I've nurtured them, and from a distance I've counseled them, and from an even further distance I've coached them and tried to be a part of their worlds and their lives. And now they just come back to Auntie Ree because she's just the auntie that loves them, and they just ask for a little bit of advice here and there, or maybe sometimes not the advice, but maybe money. But you know, there's something important about one generation to the next. And I look around the room, I've seen our kids' ministry, our kids' team working with the next generation, our youth pastors and young and old pastors working with the next generation. And I look around the room and I see this generation. And I ask myself, God, what is it that you could do through this next generation coming through? I had a conversation with Pastor Wayne last week, and he was talking to me about the generational blessings that come when we're a part of the family of God. And we were actually talking about how funny this one particular thing is. I come from a family of generational Christian heritage. My grandfather got saved out of the Methodist movement. Not that the Methodist movement was bad, but he just got saved out of Methodist thinking and came into an encounter with the Holy Ghost, along with his brother, whose name was Arthur Amory. Now, Arthur Amory, I didn't have the privilege and of having a close connection and relationship with because our generational gap missed. But what was really interesting is that he was a church planter. I got a picture up here on the screen. You'll see he was pioneering churches in the northeast of Victoria. Now, my grandfather was a carpenter, so he'd build them, and my great uncle would plant them. But this is Pastor Arthur Amory, and he went throughout all of Victorian and country areas in 1950, this article's written. And it talks about his journey into starting churches in country Victoria to reach people so that the next generation could be reached. What's really crazy is that I sat with Pastor Wayne and his sister, who was here for our DTN celebration on the 22nd of June, Francine. And my great uncle was the pastor of their local church growing up. And I sat back and I thought, how wild is that? Our God, a generational God, in my family line and heritage, would see a cross-pollination from one generation to the next. Friend, do you realize the responsibility we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to pass on to the next generation? Not just traditional history of coming to church, Not just traditional history of like, well, they did that back then. But what are the things that we are passing on to the next generation of our encounters with the Lord, of our time of discipleship with the Lord? See, because I believe more than ever that our faith and our testimony are meant to go from one generation to the next. Joel chapter 1 verse 3 says this, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children tell another generation. Have you ever considered the responsibility you have, not just to steward your faith in relationship with Jesus, but to actually go, who's behind me? Who's behind me? See, some of you won't know this, but my parents came to this church in 1974, 75. They got married, so they were here 73 maybe. They got married in this church, in Richmond Temple in the good old days. And then they went on to pray to God and ask God for a child. And they prayed and they interceded really hard. Wasn't working out the way they'd planned it. My mum had an encounter with the Holy Ghost through a life group, got slain in the spirit for the first time, felt the presence of God, and then not long after that, found out that she was pregnant. And I'm the product. And I'm deliberately making some family ties and connections here today because I believe that the Lord is calling us to be ones to go back and go, well, back in 2025, when I was at the church, and then 30 years later, 40 years later, here's what the product is. Because our life is never just about our here and now moment. It is about the future generations and them knowing the Lord. And each of us have been invited into this, and we have to bear this responsibility as well as the great joy that it is. I'm privileged. I'm grateful for the family heritage that I have. But maybe you're the first generation. Maybe you're the one that's putting the line in the sand and going for the future generations. This will be my story. We're invited into this, but it doesn't happen by mistake. See, back in the day, in Jewish context, they used to do discipleship in synagogue and in community. At the ages 5 to 6, children were taught the Torah and they could recite it. I mean, what can you teach a 5-year-old, 6-year-old these days? Like, play an iPad? They know technology really well. But in 12 to 13 years of age, they would be prepared for their bar mitzvah and they'd have a personal responsibility to know how to uphold what they had learned and the law. They would do this through memorization and discussion and questioning. You know the most powerful thing that happened to me as a kid growing up? I went to kids' church. And every week we had a memory verse. And if we got the memory verse right, we were given a prize. And then the team that we were a part of were given an add-on points. And then at the end of a term, there'd be a big celebration for who had the most points. But we were trained to memorize the word. We were trained to read and to lean in as a part of our discipleship. Now maybe you're here and you're like, I didn't get that. But there's other means and ways for you to find the formation of your faith. And this is what we get invited into. But you know what? You're invited into this covenant family. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that you have been given the right to become children of God. And you become a part of this family. But you know what happens? We get busy with our lives. And the obstacle more than often for us is actually that we don't step into the fullness of discipleship. We actually just come to church on Sunday and go, well, got my feed, got my word, got my prayer, got my worship. But the Lord's invitation is for us to step into that as a part of an ongoing journey and doing that together and doing that as family. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says that you've received the spirit of adoption whom we cry Abba Father. Now we know that we've been added into the family of God. But do you understand the paradigm of spiritual family in a New Testament context? It's one thing to look at the the Jewish context and go, well, they used to do it communally and they used to have a responsibility communally. And even if I was to break it down to you, to be honest, Elijah and Elisha are probably a great reflection of that. Moses and Joshua, probably a great reflection of that. It wasn't just direct family, but it was about the communal gathering and the communal discipleship. And as I look around the room, I feel to say, hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the communal responsibility that we have to disciple one another. And the beautiful thing about this is like Elijah and Elisha had this incredible relationship where he actually cried out to Elijah at one point, Elisha did, and said, my father, because he understood the paradigm of spiritual family. And this is what we are invited into. You know, Paul and Timothy reflect it in the New Testament. Peter and Mark. Actually, Paul says, this is my spiritual son, or this is my true son. And there's this whole sense of family that is portrayed by Paul in Scripture. Let's take a look at this passage of Scripture together. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. And it says this, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Now, is it possible to have fathers out? Wow, that was great. Is it possible to have fathers plural? In the natural, when you just have a mum and a dad and a family? No. The fathers mentioned here are fathers in the faith. For you have tens and thousands of instructors, but you do not have many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. There is this invitation for us into understanding what a spiritual family looks like. But the question is, well, what's the role of a spiritual parent? Well, the role of a spiritual parent is to produce spiritual children who love and know the Father and go on to do the same. They pour out knowledge and understanding and wisdom and counsel, and they lead you to maturity and they hold you to account, and sometimes they're going to correct you. They're going to provide for you, and they're going to give you covering, and they're going to protect you. But one of the greatest things about parents is that they want you to succeed and go further than they ever did. Well, sometimes we feel like that's like a pressure. You know, your dad wants you to be something and you're like, oh, it's not really for me. But more often than not, the heart of it is they want you to succeed. They want you to be blessed. They want you to be fruitful. They want you to grow. Now, if you look at the role of a spiritual son or daughter, they are to emulate the qualities of a father. They're to love the father through relationship they walk with, and they listen and they engage. To love one another, to love brothers and sisters, to grow and mature and to lead and to reflect the attitudes and values of the family. You know, when your kid is like totally behaving inappropriately and you're like, that's not how we behave. Or am I the only one that copped that? My sister had values that she would send our family out, and that was to honor, respect, love, and obey. Her four kids would walk out of the house and she would say to them, what do you do for them, Doherty, that was their name. Like, what do you do as Doherty's? We honor, we respect, we love, and we obey. And they would walk out with these values, and they were being raised as spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. And that's the invitation that we're invited to. But then when we look at how Jesus lived these things out, he lived as one who revealed the Father. He lived as one who had access and gave time to seeking the Father. He had wisdom and understanding, and he demonstrated it. He loved, he listened, he led, and he lingered longer with the Lord. The beautiful thing is Jesus as a spiritual father is when he displayed it to the 12 disciples. He became like a spiritual father to them, led them, and as a result, they walked in intimacy with him. They had proximity to him, and it changed their lives. Within 3 years, their whole trajectory had changed because they had given themselves to being led by a spiritual father and choosing to be spiritual children. The difference between the 70 that the Lord Jesus led and the 12 was proximity. The 12 were led with deep proximity. The 70, the 72 in Scripture, were led from teaching and ministry. But I don't know about you, I don't want to walk without the intimacy and the proximity. I want to walk with a sense of, oh, I'm close, I'm in this. I'm growing. Because the things that Jesus identified in the disciples, worked through in the disciples, was only worked out because of their proximity. See, the thing is, if you're just doing check-in, check-out church, you just come on a Sunday and that's your only thing you do, you're at a distance. Your growth, your discipleship journey becomes hindered. You can grow and read the word and understand those things, but our obstacle in today's society is that we're independent. I got this. I listen to that podcast. Watch that YouTube worship session. I really don't need. No. We're called to community. We're called to family. We're called to this sense of life on life and proximity with each other so that we can actually become all that God has called us to be. I'm so grateful for the people that I've had in my life over the years that have been spiritual parents or brothers and sisters who have actually chosen to encourage me and call out the gift and prophesy over me and speak over me and pray over me and sometimes go, hey, that doesn't look right. You need to change that. And I'd be like, can I be really vulnerable with you? I was 16 and may have had a slight anger issue and I didn't see it like I had an issue. My pastor came up to me on one Sunday after church had finished and walked up to me and said, oh, Cherie, I've got something for you. He came over to me and he puts in my book, this book on anger. Now, I'm reading Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, like I'm reading all the other books and the Bible. And he gives me this book on anger. I don't want that. And I walked away. He chased me up and he said to me, Cherie, I've given you something I think that's going to help you. What are you talking about? I don't have an anger issue. Gave it back to him again. Third time he came back to me. Hats off to people who are patient as spiritual parents when you've got a kid who just needs a little love, a little encouragement. And he came back in a different stage and gave it to me and said, hey, I think you would benefit from this book. He was on the money. I had some issues. But it was only because I leaned in that I actually learned. And the thing is, we're invited into this space where we can have proximity to the Father, proximity to one another, where we can live out the values of the kingdom of heaven together, to love one another, to challenge one another, to grow with one another, to carry each other's burdens, and to be able to walk this journey. But our independence will prevent us from doing that if we're not invited into a space to do that. The revelation of spiritual fathers and sons can actually be the most powerful understanding in the kingdom of God. So how do you raise spiritual families? Well, spiritual families, unfortunately, are not determined by our words and the words of people. They're determined by our actions and our choice to lay down our independence, to pick up our cross, and to actually follow Him. And the thing is, we're shaped and formed as family when we understand where we're at and who's around us to call it out of us. So today I'm going to actually bring up a couple of people to help me out in this illustration for you today. But I believe that we are shaped over five different stages of our lives. Well, firstly, as a baby, can't invite the baby to walk up on its own. It doesn't work like that. Hey, Oliver. Give it up for Oliver. Hi, Bubba. Hi. Yes, he's so big and handsome. He's a baby, just in case you missed it. He's a baby. Come over here. Just there. Thank you. Hi. Hi. Yeah. Gotta look at that. I can look at his smile. He's beautiful. But you know, he needs love. at this age. He needs nurture. He needs care. He needs to be fed. He needs for mum to play a role in his life as a carer, as someone who would space herself into his life and provide for him and help him identify what he's feeling and what he's needing by learning how to read. Is that a cry for I'm hungry, or is that a cry for I'm in pain? Is like all the things that mums do in nurturing from baby season into the next season. And see, a baby in Christ is always going to need someone who's going to come along and play the carer. Someone who is going to come along. She ain't got enough hands. But someone else who's going to come along and play those roles in her life, in his life. And the thing is, as a new Christian, let me encourage you, if you've just decided to follow Jesus, don't choose to try to do this in independence.
Yeah.
Don't try to do this in independence, because I've never seen a baby get up and walk on its own without the first part of its life being loved, cared, and nurtured. You need the input into your life, and for someone to come along as a spiritual parent and to love and to care and to nurture for that child, for that baby. Which brings us to the next generation, a child. As a child is in a different season. Give it up for Jonah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a man. Yeah. But as a child, he needs still the continuation of someone being in his world to bring love, care, and nurture. But in this season, he actually needs someone to come along and actually teach him how to make right choices, how to live out a life of what the Word says. He needs someone who can come along and instruct him. This is what the Word says you can do. This is what the Word says you can't do. And at this age and stage in his life, I'm not saying to him, hey, do you think it'd be a good idea if I just gave you the keys to my car and let you go down the street?
And he's like, yes.
What do you mean? But I'm having conversation with a child at a different level. I'm telling a child, don't touch that. Come here, go there, do this, do that. And we, as a spiritual parent, begin to command them. Now, that can come across as a really strong word, but if you've ever seen Leash parent Jonah, there are moments where it's firm, but there are moments where it's love, care, and nurture, but it's commanding of like, hey, you can't do that. You can't behave like that. You can't say that. But hey, did you know the Word of God says this about you? Did you know that you are a son of God? Did you know that you are the righteousness of God? Did you know, right? These are the things that she begins to command over his life and declare over his life. And this is a role that gets to be played in our family. Because as you go from being a baby and being a new Christian and being, you need someone to come in and say, hey, you can't live that way. You can't do that. The Bible says this, not because they just want to control you, because they actually want to grow you into the next stage. And the next stage is that of a teenager. Oh, Lord, help. No, Billy would be the best teenager I know. Yeah. Now, as a teenager, they're in a different stage and season. You try to tell a teenager what to do. How well does that go down? I'm sure you do everything mum and dad ask. But teenagers, they need someone to help them think critically at their age. If all they do is get commanded and told what to do, they'll get to the next season and not be equipped to be able to deal with life. Because what they need in this season is for someone to come along and say, She says, well, I want to do this and I want to think, I'm trying to think of an example. But I want to do something. And you're sitting there and going, I'm not sure that that's a good idea. Okay, how do I help them think critically about that? And as a result, I begin to ask questions so that we can help her to form her own thinking and understanding about what the word says, about what it means to follow Jesus. Does that make sense? So the person that plays this role in her life becomes the counselor. The counselor is there to provide for them the ability to be able to think about their decisions and to help them process their emotions and actually provide support. Hang out with a teenage long enough, you realize it's like one minute they're like, yeah, next minute like, ah. I can say that because I've been there. It's not you. But what they need in their life is someone who can actually counsel them through that. You ever have those moments as a believer, you're like, yeah, I'm on fire. And then all of a sudden you're like, my world's falling apart. I don't know what to do. And I'm like stressed out about this. And you actually need someone to come along, not to tell you how to think like a commander, but to actually counsel you. What does the word of God say about that? Helping to process and to get them to think critically and to understand them things for themselves so that as they step into the next season as a young adult, they're able to be able to make good decisions, to understand what the word of God says, why it says it. And as a result, a young adult is someone who needs someone from the sidelines in their life to point out what they can't see. They need someone to be able to give them advice on the plays that they're observing in their life. As a basketball coach to a basketball team, it's like a coach watches the game. Okay, yep, all right, let's fix this, let's fix that, let's look at this, let's look at that. And they bring them on the side and they're like, okay, so when you go to take that play, you need to, and they teach them from the sideline and coach them and send them back out to be able to do what needs to be done. And the beautiful part about this journey is that someone has to play the coach in their life. So I have my friends who comes along and coaches. And in the space of her world, in her journey, she's growing. She's got a prophetic gift on her life. God's moving in her life. She's fired up. God's doing some stuff and she's learning about the word of God. And then as a coach, Kelly identifies something's not quite right in this space or needs to be adjusted. And so Kelly is having a conversation with Amy and being like, hey, do you know that when we do it like this, it kind of comes across like this? And so can I make a suggestion? How about you take it from this angle or look at this scripture and understand it this way? And Kelly begins to coach her as she's growing in her faith. Is this making sense? So at every season, you need these people in your life. And as Amy is becoming a fully mature adult, my next friend, as we transition into being adults, there's a new phase and stage that's required in our lives. And as an adult, Josh has maturity, he's been coached, he's been trained, he's been commanded, he's been cared for. All of these things are functioning in his life. But at this stage and season, he doesn't just have someone in his world as a coach on the sideline, but he has someone else who plays the role of a consultant in his life. They come back. Woo-hoo. Pastor Barry, everybody. The man of God himself. Yay! Now, the beautiful part about this picture is that Josh is going through some stuff in his life and it's not something he's going to discuss at a life group situation, but he's got a spiritual dad in his life that he can go to. He just picks up the phone and says, hey, Pastor Barry, can we catch up for coffee? I want to ask you a few questions about this particular part of the Bible. I want to understand more about this in the Word of God and in my faith and in the development of my faith. And Pastor Barry is inputting into his life as a consultant. And he's contributing as required. Any grandparents tried to command their children as adults? Doesn't quite go down so well. You try commanding a young adult, they're like, I'm independent. I could do this myself. Like, so do you understand? Can you see the picture here? That in every season of our life, we need someone in our world who's caring for us. Someone who's playing the commander role and actually speaking into and developing us. And hey, the Bible says, then moving into a council where it's like, okay, let me ask you a question about that. Let me help you unpack that passage of scripture. Let me coach you and hey, show you that there's another way to look at this or a better way to play that. Or hey, here's what I recommend because you've asked my advice. Does that make sense? This here is a game changer when we think about discipleship and the next generation. Because I can tell you this, if you do not identify people in your world who can be spiritual parents in your life, you are going to miss out on the full growth and development the Lord has for you. Because you have to identify spiritual parents and spiritual sons. It's not on the kids to come to the parents. Parents, you need to go to the kids. So where are you on your faith journey right now? Are you the consultant, mature, developed, grown, occasionally needs to be coached? Where are you on your journey? And then who's in your world and where are they on their journey? And what is the role the Lord's calling you to play? Because we're not meant to do a life of isolation and independence. We are designed and called to do a life in relationships and proximity with one another. But in today's society, because we are so busy, it becomes the last priority. And the Lord says, nope, family is my priority. Whew. You got to be intentional. You got to lean in and posture yourself for it. You got to listen and you got to linger a little longer when it comes to hanging out for fellowship and people. Sometimes you're going to have to pay a price because it might cost you to go see Uncle Barry. Sometimes you might have to pay a price where it's up in the midnight hour dealing with something in someone's life. Sometimes it might be so frustrating because you feel like you've said the same thing 10 times and you're waiting for the penny to drop. Or sometimes you might find yourself inconvenienced and think, well, they should work around me because I'm a young adult. No. You work around them. Ask for boundaries in your life and humble yourself and invest in somebody. Can you give it up for my guests? Thank you, guys. Church. Psalm 22 verse 6 says, train a child up in the ways of the Lord and they shall not depart. That is the one thing we have confidence in, whether it's your home family or the spiritual family that God is building in this church. We train our people up in the ways of the Lord, they shall not depart. And it's a beautiful picture. But let me take you to this verse and you'll see it on the screen. Psalm 127 verses 3 to 5. It says this, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Some of you feel like you have to endure the idea of spiritual parenting. Oh, it's just another night out. No. Children are a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. They're a reward. And as a part of the family of God, we need to stop seeing things like life group as optional. Because discipleship is not optional and is not the only forum that discipleship takes place in, but it is one that creates close proximity, that allows stuff to be seen and taught and caught in those environments. And we need to lean in and recognize our call to be a part of this, a part of the community. It says this in verse 4, like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. How many you got? Not just your natural children, but your spiritual children. Because the Bible talks about this, that they are like arrows in your hand. Do you know that the scripture reference here for arrows is actually a part of understanding how arrows are formed? Arrows are carefully shaped and formed back in this time and era, not by a machine, not by a template, not by something that is just like cut and copy and paste, but it's like they are formed individually. And the beautiful thing about this is that they are guided with absolute skill and strength of the one who works to make the arrow. If our arrows are like children, are we in a space where we are shaping and forming the next generation? Are we in a space where we are taking our skills and our strength and actually guiding the next generation? See, if careful care is not given to the creation of an arrow, arrows actually won't fly straight. And in not flying straight, it means they don't go where they're meant to go. You and I have been invited into this. And if arrows aren't aimed in the right direction, they won't actually land where they're meant to, and arrows could only be launched once in this era and in this context. Guys, we get one shot at the next generation. We get one shot to sow into the next generation. And I started it by showing you my family. And I can honestly tell you, there have been days that have been good days, bad days, and everything in between in the discipleship journey of those boys. I have a group of boys that I used to look after, and it's the same thing. There's ups and downs and everything in between. And sometimes it just feels a little bit frustrating, like you're wasting your time. But I'm telling you, friends, this, one generation to the next shall declare the praises of God, shall declare the works of God. The question is, where are you on the journey, and where are the people you're discipling around you are on the journey? See, friends, the result of sonship is that people are known, loved, accepted, secure in their identity. And then they in turn become committed to the success of others. We need to release people to fulfill their destiny, not from a place of surface Christianity, but from a place of full maturity. And we can only do that as a family. Where are you at? Where are the people around you? And how can you be part of it? This is the invitation of the Lord. We're moving into a season where we will come together as family. We will disciple one another, and we'll ensure that the next generation are better, bigger, and stronger because we've put into them. I'm not leaving it to somebody else. This is our job. This is our responsibility as believers. It's not an option. It's actually a responsibility. I'm going to ask you to stand right across the room. I'm going to close our service. And I recognize my message has probably been a bit longer than usual due to an illustration, but I am praying that that illustration has helped you connect some dots today. And that as a result of connecting those dots, it connects you to your next step. I believe more than ever that the family of God is a place where you can belong, where you can become like Christ, where you can find faith for God to do great things in and through your life, but not just in and through you, but through to the next generation, and to raise up the next generation stronger than am I. Who's in for it? If you're in for it, why don't you just lift your hands? I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for every single person in the family of God that calls Pneuma Church home and calls, Lord, the Pneuma Church family, they're part of their family. And I'm praying today, Holy Spirit, would you have taken a revelation from your word and deposited it into our hearts to be committed to the raising of the next generation. I thank you, Lord, that there are kids leaders right across this room that are going to sow into the next generation. I thank you, God, there are leaders in this space who actually feel a burden to reach the teenagers. I thank you, God, there's people in this room who are feeling a burden to reach young adults. And I thank you, Lord, that right across the room, you are speaking to people and helping them recognize what they need. What group do they need to go be a part of? What discipleship group can they connect with? What's the next thing that can take them on the journey of their faith and their discovery and life becoming more like Jesus? And I thank you, Lord, that more than ever, you said you would build your church and you called us to partner with you and to play our part responsibly. So Lord, we make this commitment to you today. This 100-year-old church will live to see another 100 if you don't return beforehand. And then we will be committed to raising the next generation. And so God, I thank you for the next generation of kids leaders, youth leaders, young adult leaders, worship team, singers, musicians, songwriters, worship leaders. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that there will be a sound that rises out of this house that will reach out into the community to find lost ones and to bring them home and call them into the family of God. So Lord, for every person today, bless them and release to them their next step in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone said? Come on. Thank you for joining us today. I'm praying that you are blessed as you go into your week. We'd love to see you at Prayer Power this Wednesday. Have an amazing week. If you would like prayer, our team will be at the front, ready to pray with you and anoint you with oil. If you have sickness in your body, feel free to come. If you want to pray about what you've heard today, feel free to come. If you've got questions, we're available for that too. Have a blessed day, church. We love you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.